Whether you've spent your winter dealing with monster storms or just wearing a couple extra layers, chances are you are looking forward to spring. Trees budding, flowers blooming, and then there are the birds. If you can't wait for the real thing, right now you can enjoy some exquisite springtime sounds with a set of headphones. Cornell University has just finished digitizing their entire collection of animal sounds, 150,000 animal sounds assembled over the last century. And they've got an especially vast and intriguing collection of birdsong. For our new extra credit challenge, we're asking you to use those birdsongs, any of them, for remixing spring. Joining me to talk about this feast of natural sounds is Cornell University's Greg Budney. He's the curator of audio at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt. A pleasure to be here.
So 150,000 sounds. How many hours does that comprise?
Approximately 7,500 hours of listening.
So why was this undertaken? Was it for biologists or because they're cool and civilians like me should have access to all these cool sounds?
For all of the above. The primary users of the archive are researchers, but the resources are available to anybody. And for anyone with an interest in nature, sound is a phenomenal tool for opening up the wonder of the natural world. If you know what something sounds like, you can find it. Your range of detection is so much greater, and you can focus on the species or the creature that's of greatest interest to you, really optimize your time in the field.
That's interesting. So it's like a language course. Before you go out in the field, you can really immerse yourself into what this species or that species is going to sound like when you get to the wild.
Exactly.
Well, let's listen to a few of the sounds in this vast collection. What do we have first?
First up is a Swainson's thrush.
Where would one find that?
Woodlands in North America. You could find it all across the northern latitudes, in the Sierra Nevada of California, the Rocky Mountains at upper elevation. Characteristic sound of a beautiful forest. This species of thrush has a very distinctive upward spiral. And these spring peeper-like frog notes.
I hear some bugs as well in there.
Yes, there are.
The thing about this sound and all these sounds is it does this amazing thing of putting me there. I mean, I can almost smell the pine and feel the breeze. The next one I think you're going to play is one of my favorites that I've heard. This is what?
This is a common loon. And what we're going to hear is the wail, which is a long-distance communication vocalization given between a mated pair of birds when they're out of sight of one another and they're trying to establish contact. It's essentially, here I am, where are you? Now, one would expect to hear a distant response at this point, but the mate isn't having it. Perhaps they had a little squabble earlier on.
Which makes it even more sad. I literally, every time that sound comes, I am getting goosebumps as I listen. So, Greg, you have kindly picked out about a dozen different bird songs of the tens of thousands in the database, and we have posted them online where listeners can download them and use one or more of them as part of an original musical composition. Any genre based on the theme of spring. So, composers, you've got 3 weeks to come up with your piece. Your deadline is March 17th at midnight, and we will announce the winners the first weekend of spring. Greg, you'll come back to help us pick the best ones?
It would be my great pleasure.
And there's nobody more familiar than you with the nature of birdsong. Do you have any advice for our composers?
Well, there's one essential fact about our songbirds that might provide some inspiration. That is the organ that they use for sound production. It's called the syrinx, and it sits at the junction of the two bronchial tubes. You could think of it as two voice boxes, And each voice box is capable of independently producing a sound, or the two boxes can act in unison to create a single sound. And if you slow the sounds down, you can often hear the overlapping signals being produced by either side of this remarkable organ.
That's really interesting. So they really are the first two-track devices in some way.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I like that analogy.
Excellent. Greg Budney is the curator of audio at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. You can get the details about our Remixing Spring contest at studio360.org. And here is a little remix of sorts. Richard Thompson playing in our studio, accompanied by the sounds of the song thrush, or the throstle, as they call it in England, Richard Thompson's homeland.